Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 9, Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. There are, always and only, bad people, but some of them are on opposite sides.
I hate this,
I growled as my head surfaced from the frothy broth. Flair just smiled from across the room at me, so I splashed him. It wasn't the most mature thing to do, but seeing his green and yellow mane dripping over his eyes made me grin, so whatever. Wiping his wet mane out of his eyes, he smirked at me. How old are you again? Shut up, I said, lowering my head back into the water. This is your fault. Dipping my muzzle into the water, I had nothing to do but blow bubbles as some mare scrubbed my back with a brush. Normally, that'd be a more exciting prospect, but being drugged and forced to bathe put me in a bad mood. At least Serenity wasn't here to mock me, too. Is she done? Photo finished in tone half-heartedly behind me. Blushing, I shook off my hair and hadn't intended to use my newly renewed feeling in my legs to climb out of the wooden tub. What actually happened was I tried to climb out, lacked the capabilities with only three legs, and slipped. My body slammed into the edge of the tub, shaking it before ever so slowly tipping over, spilling me in a wave of reddish-brown water over the floor. Groaning, I opened my eyes to see Photo finish lifting a hoof up dramatically as my bathwater dripped off it.
You have gotten my flow wet.
She pushed her sunglasses down to give me a good long look at her stern eyes.
It is dirty now.
You took my leg, I groaned and rolled to my feet, doing my best not to fall over. A tough task, everything considered. I turned my head away from the smug gang leader. After they had drugged me and dumped me in the water, they levitated me into some back room, and let me just say that floating in a rickety container without a muscle control was not frightening at all.
Yes, yes, but you look marvelous, darling.
With a flash of magic and a sharp pain where my metal leg should have been, I was suddenly staring at myself. I had to admit that without the blood and grime, my mane looked much better, if a bit too long for my liking, and my coat seemed to positively shine. Had it always been so light? I guess it must have, but damn, I did look good. Or would I have, if not for the metal plate screwed to my torso with various sockets and gears to attach a leg to.
Well, Photo Finish added before peeking her head around the full-length mirror. Maybe not marvelous, but very, very close.
Rolling my eyes, I took a quick hop back. My leg, please. With a single sharp step, a pony zipped up beside me, levitating my leg. Excellent. I turned my head to it. Wait, was it? Okay, just... But before I could comment on what they'd done to my leg, it was shoved into the socket. Pain flared through my body, blinding me and dropping me to my knees. It almost felt like I'd been bucked by Torrigan. Only this time, when the pain faded, it stayed away. Seething through clenched teeth, I stood shakily back to my feet as Photo Finish chuckled daintily beside me.
Does it hurt?
Yes, I growled, shaking my metal leg and stomping it quickly. It always felt weird when it was reattached, as if it had too much feeling and burning in multiple spots, but it went away eventually. Just another benefit of losing your leg in an unfortunate stupidity accident. No, I growled, looking down at my mechanical leg. Why'd you paint my leg purple? Flair laughed so hard he crashed into a nearby wall. My ears burned, but I stood my ground. It was my fucking leg, and they went and purpled it when I was being drugged and bathed, and no part of that sentence is right in any way. Seriously, I was a cybernetic killing machine, not a doll.
To make it beautiful, dear.
It wasn't supposed to be beautiful. It was a device used to crush ponies' skulls in. Ugh, I hated these ponies so much. And I knew it was only going to get worse. Photo Finish quickly clopped her hooves together and trotted through the nearest door, to get away from my murky bathwater, no doubt, and beckoned me to follow. I knew I was in trouble. Through the slightly dingy and dim halls of the backstage of the Finish HQ, we were quickly led into, as you may have guessed, a dressing room. No fucking way! I skidded to a stop at the entrance. The sight of all those, dresses made me sick to my stomach. I wasn't against dresses as a rule, and that rule was never to wear anything I looked ugly in.
You will,
Photo Finish's glasses shone airily in the light.
And you will like it.
She walked right up to me and poked me in the chest.
You owe me. You will do this.
We matched glares for a second, but I broke first. I'd already agreed to the job, and that meant I had to go through with it, for good or ill. By the way my stomach was twisting, ill was the most likely. Fine, I said. It did not take them long to get me all dialed up. The dress they put me in was not the usual finisher dress. I guess it was more of a uniform, but a white dress that flowed over my tail and onto the ground behind me. The lacy trimming was all a deep shade of red with small ruby gems embroidered into the fabric. Around my neck was a simple tight copper necklace with a jeweled pendant. When I looked into the mirror, despite the fact it looked a bit tight and my leg looked weird in it, I did look, well, good. And I've lost all my mercenary cred. Photo finish stalked around me. It is missing something.
Like taste?
She poked and prodded and lifted before turning to face me.
Aha! I, photo finish, has got this.
With a quick flurry of magic, her pink sunglasses were suddenly on my face. Now, I'd heard of wearing rose-tinted glasses, but this was ridiculous. The constant pink tint made me feel like I was in some fool's fairy tale.
Perfect. It is needed, so they know you are with the finishers.
I thought it looked nicer without the glasses.
Now, for the other.
Other? Every pony in the room turned to Flair, who until then had been grinning along like a mad pony. Like a scene from a pink dream, the ponies tackled him, tearing off his red jumpsuit. In less than a minute, it was no longer Flair standing before me, but a pretty blue mare in a frilly dress and a deathly scowl on her face. His dress seemed skimpier, and it was a deep green with a frilly light green ruffles barely covering his rump. Yeah, it was kind of cute. It's not that bad. It took all my self-control not to burst into laughter. Turnabout was so sweet. You look pretty. He just glared at me from behind his own pair of shades as a scarf was tied around his neck. Under his dress, I could see his wings struggling to move until photo finish bopped him on the nose.
Shush! This was your idea.
I will admit that a stupid grin was plastered on my face, but damn it, it was hilarious. If only Serenity was here to laugh at him with me. Except then she'd see me in a dress. Yeah, scratch that. I'll just tell her the abridged story later.
I cannot have unpretty things go in my photo finish's place.
The door swung open, and in strolled a red mare.
Are we almost done? What the fuck?
Screenshot's eyes were wide as she stared at me and Flair in our pretty dresses. The finisher's second-in-command just shook her head and faced us.
Photo finish, huh?
Enough, Screenshot!
Photo finish trotted up haughtily to the red mare with a sly grin.
I, photo finish, will not allow my name to be used with those who are not beautiful. I know your standards are low, Screenshot, but do try to remember why we exist, yeah?
With that, photo finish and her entourage vanished through the door, leaving me, Flair, and a slightly bitter Screenshot.
Maybe you should remember, she said, and I got the feeling in my gut it wasn't something I wasn't supposed to hear.
Dawn broke over the horizon, turning the ever-present cloud layer into a light show of reds and oranges. With a slight smile, I turned my head back south, following behind Screenshot and Flair. As we traversed the strip, more than one pony stopped to whistle at us. Of course, most of these times, the ponies that whistled seemed to be focusing on Flair. It was a good day. As we walked, nearly no pony spoke. Screenshot seemed to be too busy stomping to speak. Flair was far too busy blushing furiously, a fact I made note of. And I didn't speak on principle. If only more of my walks went so quietly. Walking around the statue, a small orange pony with an overlarge cowpony hat waved and whistled at me before his friend kicked him. I just turned away and pushed my sunglasses back up, blushing ever so slightly. I had to admit, it was a nice change from ponies immediately trying to avoid me on sight. Even still, I was counting the minutes to get out of that stupid dress. At the best times, I looked hideous in a dress, and this one was a few sizes too small to boot. Then came the Clips and Clops Casino, home to Celestia knows what. I had to stop and stare at the huge tower with the pink pony head cresting it one last time. Damn, it was impressive, but I kept no illusions ever getting to the top. An Earth pony should stay on Earth. Flanking the entrance stood a row of creepily still ponytrons, their screen faces shining stoic and staring forward. Until, of course, we got close to the door. Turning in sync, their faces displayed a burst of static before changing to that of a grinning pink pony with hair that looked like a candy cane.
Howdy do! Welcome to the Clips and Clops!
What the fuck?
The face was smiling and talking excitedly in a high-pinched voice about the casino's many, many, many amenities, but the body stood eerily still. When the recording was done, it was replaced by a burst of static and its usual army face returned. I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the creepiest shit I'd ever seen.
What? Flair nickered as he trotted up beside me. Never been to the Clips and Clops before?
He knew very well I hadn't.
The bastion of yesteryear.
He stopped to wave his hoof dramatically at the door.
owned and operated by the Equestrian Ministry of Morale. It has kept their particular flavor after the war. Oh, yes, my second favorite casino after the moon, and so very much better on Dash.
I shot him a glare, warning him not to make the money I paid for his cleansing go to waste.
Silence! You shall be quiet unless I, Screenshot, say otherwise!
She turned her head and gave me a smirk.
Is this understood?
Right, because I really wanted to do all the talking anyway. We walked into the casino, and I was assaulted by pink. The doors led to the main gambling floor, a large room with an arched roof with, no kidding, streamers and balloons of all colors hanging from it. The walls were painted in various shades of pink, and the slot machines lined up across the floor were shaped like cupcakes. Across from them were more than a couple blackjack, poker, and craps tables that, too, looked to be shaped like various sweets. Was this really a Diaz casino, or had I walked into a Phillies daydream? Boom! Instinct took over. Spinning towards the source of the explosion, I pushed Flair behind me with my hoof and crouched down ready to strike. Only what I was staring at was a table in a small restaurant off to the side of the casino that was covered in confetti and balloons. That couldn't have been what I'd heard. So I looked further, spotting a baby blue cannon still smoking. Why is there artillery inside? I asked. The adrenaline pumping through my veins nearly exploded when something touched my shoulder. I came very close to kicking the offending opponent before I saw it was Flair.
Calm down, it's a potty cannon.
Screenshot was laughing at me, along with half the casino floor. When I was blushing so much, I probably blended in with the decor.
What?
I said in a low voice, barely recognizable under Screenshot's laughing. She didn't have to make a show of it.
It's a cannon,
Flair said as the cannon operator turned it at an empty wooden table.
That shoots potties.
With a boom, the cannon fired, sending a pink, lacy tablecloth over the table and a flurry of confetti and balloons. It was a cannon that shot parties. Sure, why not? You know, when I'd planned to go to the finishers to repay my debt to them, I thought it was going to be something exciting. Raid a drug dealer's base, fight off insane ghouls, something along those lines. Not have a bath, get dressed up pretty, and go to the land of pretty pink parties.
Celestia's cunt, I needed a drink.
Screenshot shook her head after wiping tears of laughter out of her eyes and continued through the casino. Flair followed behind, a smug smile on his face until, I assume, he realized he was still dressed like a pretty filly. I mostly kept my eyes on the carpet as I walked, the casino's bright and happy atmosphere being way too much for me to handle. Anything was better than this, even the moon. Surprisingly, Screenshot did not take us to an elevator. I was half expecting the boss's chamber to be at the top of the tower, and I was mightily glad it wasn't. Don't get me wrong, I had no problem with Mustang's rooftop apartment. And while I did avoid the windows, I could have handled them. But the tower was something different. It was by far the highest thing in Dais, and was even higher than when we flew in the Sky Wagon. That had nothing to do with my fear of heights, that I don't have, and much more due to the fact that it was fucking high, and any pony that wasn't a Pegasus would be insane to go up that high. I mean, for fuck's sake, I felt sick just looking at it. Okay, that last paragraph got away from me. What I was trying to say is that Screenshot took us through a short series of hallways, passing right past the elevator doors. The walls were painted pink with grass stripes, and the doors lined the hallways seemed to have names of various drugs on them. Mentals, part-of-time mentals, book, dash. I smacked Flair when he stopped too long looking at that door, and so forth. I could almost swear I heard talking and laughing behind more than one of them. Eventually, we reached a plain wooden door labeled GM Office. After Screenshot knocked thrice, the door slid, a very cool effect, mind you, open. Two of those creepy-ass robots flanked the other side of the door, and, most concerningly, they had their wide array of guns and explosives out and armed. Apparently no pony was trusted. Across the room, there was a mare I had to assume was Grand Dynamite. She was only a wrinkled green pony sitting in a wheelchair. Her mane was gray and fallen out, and she looked half asleep sitting there. However, I made sure to approach cautiously, as the Earth Pony had two belts of dynamite strapped across her body, not counting, of course, the two in an X pattern on her flank. Trotting over and noticing a lack of any place to sit, I took my place to Screenshot's right.
Granny Dynamite,
stuff it, she sneered and opened up her pale white eyes. Come here, Granny Dynamite, and cut that accent. I may be old, but I'm not deaf, not blind either, no matter what you hear, so just spit it out. That prancing pony wanted me for something. Wants my army. I don't want it. Well, you can have him. Never done me no good. I'm kidding, of course. But stop standing there with your mouth agape. Speak.
I was more amazed by the way her neck flapped when she spoke than anything she had to say.
Photo Finish sends her regards,
Screenshot said, the accent thoroughly dropped.
Photo Finish only sends her regards because she's got nothing else to send. Her mother was better than her, and she's still a little girl trying to fit into her mother's boots. Well, what does she want? She can't give me anything, so she must want to speak. Forever speaking, but she never says anything.
How exactly a pony could speak without saying anything confused me. Screenshot mercifully got to talking. She quickly and forcefully told the old mare what the bases were planning, having to talk through the old mare's interruptions no less than 3 times.
So you heard this straight from the mule's mouth?
She nodded at me, her eyelids growing heavy again. Yes, I said.
Yes, what?
She groaned a bit. Yes, ma'am. For some reason, she face-hoofed. After she was finished with that, she leaned back in her wheelchair, humming to herself.
You heard this too, my pretty young thing?
She nodded to Flair, who blushed red hot.
Yes, ma'am. His wings fidgeted noticeably under his dress. Molly gave the plans herself. Plans to take over the moon, finish a puppet and all that. I guess you heard enough about, but it's all true.
Yes, yes.
She stared at me, or rather seemed like she stared past me. For a split second, I thought I saw static on the screen of the Ponytrons behind me, but when I turned to look at it, the normal face displayed.
Pay attention,
the old mare said, snapping me back forward and the silly thought out of my head.
I don't trust you.
Well, that was for the best. I was surprised the old mare had lasted as long as she had as the ruler of the Galatians. It seemed gang leadership was a cutthroat business, so I guess distrusting all the ponies helped.
No, you don't, Screenshot said simply. But you can't not trust us. You want the peace, right? If the bases gain too much control, the city will erupt.
Shush! You think you know this is it, hmm? You're barely a filly. Is that a real cutie mark or is it painted on? I can't tell. Listen to your elders. I remember when the NCA first came to the ice. I remember the fires and the riots. Don't you talk to me about such things. I remember when your precious parasite male was a red assist pit leeching off the lifeblood of the ace. I know war.
The old mare was practically shaking as she spoke.
Do not presume to lecture me.
I'm not lecturing, I'm trying.
The sound of Granny pulling a stick of dynamite off her belt shut Screenshot up.
Good. Listen to your elders.
She grinned, spitting into her lap.
Good. Listen. What does it take to be listened to? Your bloody hokum mare, who looks awful in that dress I may add, is too dumb to lie. So she's telling the truth. Yes, I get that. I can see why the finishers would fear. No pony would suffer under Miley's hoof for long, so that's it. That's why you came here for my army. Well, what do you have to offer?
P, Screenshot started.
Stuff your piece under your tail.
She leaned forward in her chair, and once again I thought I saw a Ponytron beside me display a burst of static. I didn't look this time, as was clearly my imagination.
What I need,
she started again,
is a form of payment. Caps, deals, information. Something I can sink my teeth into.
And then came the bartering. It made no sense why Granny would charge the finishers to stop a battle neither of them wanted, but then again, I was not a smart pony. And you're probably tired of hearing me say that. If I knew the details, I would give them, but I may have dozed off about 5 minutes into it. I was never much of a bargainer, barterer, talker pony thing, except on the occasion that I was.
All right.
The old mare snorted, making my eyes shoot open. Total not asleep or anything.
You can make use of my robots tonight. Get that mule bitch to attack tonight, and I'll have them ready to stop her. Midnight.
One, I said and gritted my teeth, expecting a verbal lashing, but it was vitally important that the raid take place after midnight. I did not want it to go off early while I was still under Mustang contract. Make it one. Midnight is too early.
Whatever. What I am. Not like I have to be awake for it.
She leaned back in her chair and waved a hoof.
This better be the real thing. Do not presume to fuck with me. You got that. The Galatians do not like to be fucked with.
We got it. Thank you for your time, Screenshot said, turning around and rolling her eyes.
Me and Flair filed suit, and he whispered hurriedly to me,
Can we change now?
Tonight?
I was surprised Molly even agreed to see me, since I got the feeling she did not like me. Still, I was sitting in Molly's top floor office with a sly grin on my face and noticeably less confined this time. I was moving up in the world. Yes, I said, stretching just a bit. It felt so good to have that stupid dress off me, but I kept the sunglasses. Not there was any sun to shade. I just liked seeing everything in pink. And they matched my mane. Damn it, I wore a dress once and I was already thinking about how things matched. Tonight, Roy, he's having a party in his penthouse. Starts just past midnight.
Yes, the mule put a hoof through her long mane. Yes, you're not as dumb as you look.
She smirked a bit at me.
You're dumb, just not quite that dumb. I had plans to attack tonight anyway, she said, fiddling with the drink on her desk as she, for some reason, stared at my purple leg. You have the door unlocked, yes, my little rat.
Crap. I knew I'd forgotten something. Quickly, Silver, think of something smart. Damn it. Nervously, I tapped my metal hoof on my pit buck.
Course, Flair said, hovering just above my head. He, too, seemed happy not to have his dress on, which is a shame. It did look so cute on him.
What, do you think it was stupid? We got everything planned, and it's going to be a blast. You like blasts, right?
Yes, my carry crow, Molly said with a yawn. It should be glorious. You may be gone now. Assuming you aren't lying through your teeth, I will not bother you further. You aren't subtle, but you're effective.
With that compliment thingy, I started to turn when she added,
But if you ever need more work, hit me up. I usually prefer unicorns, but you seem resourceful enough for a rat.
Yep, that was going to happen. In all honesty, my plans for after I finished that night consisted mostly of running as far away from Dice as I could and never looking back. Ever since I stepped a hoof into Parasite Mound, things had gone from bad to worse to worsest.
Well, think about it, Miss Molly, Flair said as the door shut behind us.
At least this morning was better than the night before. I could walk now without pain shooting into my brain, and I was no pony's patsy but my own. Well, I suppose the finishers had some say, but their desires really coincided with mine, so it was a win-win. Walking down the hall of the alehouse, we soon found ourselves down the elevator and leaving the building. An orange pony with an overlarge cow pony hat waved at me, but I ignored him. We really didn't talk until we walked outside and I heard something, like a loud sound that was, I wasn't sure, but it was above me. Highlighted against the noon sky, overcast as always, was a hulking black armored sky wagon. I could barely see it from where I stood, but it looked to have two round ball things to either side that maybe powered it. On the bottom was a row of what could only have been missile launchers. Seriously, I shit you not. A vertibook. Normally, I'd say something stupid like, the fuck is that? But he finished his statement before I had a chance.
Like an armored war vehicle. Stole three of them and a sky tank when the Enclave splintered off. Tried to take a raptor too, but...
He shrugged. I just sort of stared at the things that flew past. It really was a beautiful sight, and I almost wanted to fly in one. Almost.
Yeah? Oh, never mind. Flair wasn't done talking after all. The Enclave rents their uses out for a price.
Well, if I were ever feeling the urge to go hurtling through the skies hundreds of meters above the ground in a rickety container, I'd know who to call. After the beast flew off south, me and Flair went to walking back to the moon for the final part of our plan. And when I say final, I actually mean the part we were supposed to do last night but forgot to.
So, Flair started. If I had looked at him, I may have noticed a subtle smirk forming on his lips. You said the doctor took out some of your ribs, right?
Not really paying attention, I just nodded until, of course, he flew right in my face, stopping centimeters away.
Does that mean you can, you know...
He nodded down. I wasn't following.
Well, he rolled his eyes. Say you were sitting on your rump and leaned forward. Without your ribs, I bet you could...
I could what? Wait, did he just suggest I... My ears started to burn. I could feel a hotness form on my cheeks. That fucking pervert. Only he would think of something like that. I glared straight at his eyes, and the second he realized I understood, he started laughing hysterically and, unfortunately, flying out of my reach. Try as I might to leap and reach him, he just flew further away. Celestia, damn those Pegasi.
What's so funny? Oh, pretty glasses, too.
I realized we had finally made it back to the moon. Looking down, I saw Serenity smiling back up at me, only she was wearing an adorable poofy pink and white dress with a pink bow in her hair. Nothing. What are you wearing?
Oh,
she squealed in delight.
You like it?
She said, rearing up onto her hind legs.
Mustangs gave it to me to drum up business. Said I might as well put my tail to good use.
She did a little spin on one hoof before falling back to all fours and grinning up at me.
You like it?
I thought for a second before replying. How much does it cost?
Like your dress, Serenity,
Flair said, swooping down from his skybound hiding place, saving me from having to deal with the consequences of my words. Should have seen the one Hyatt had on earlier. Oh, shit. Never mind. Flair's an ass. Her eyes went wide, and she immediately bounded up to me.
You wore a dress?
She gaped up at me.
Can I see? Pretty please?
Crap. I tried to squirm back, only to bump into Flair's blocking my escape route.
Come on, it looked pretty, right? You'd look beautiful.
The dress in my saddlebag seemed to weigh me down as she stopped for a second and sniffed the air.
Wait, did you take a bath? You smell clean for once.
For once? Quickly, Silver, think of something more exciting than me wearing a dress. You should have seen Flair's, I said, smiling down at the filly. And right away she was off, pouncing on Flair's wing. Turned to them, I saw the pink unicorn hanging off one of Flair's feathers.
You were wearing a dress? But you're a colt. Can I see it?
By the reddening of his cheeks, I safely concluded I had won this round. I let him have a minute of stammering before trotting over, lifting Serenity up by the hem of her dress and throwing her on my back. He'll tell you later. Great story, I said with a half-hearted smirk and started walking towards the glorious water fountain of the moon. Right now, we need to dis...
Is your leg purple?
No, it was silver, obviously. White.
Damn it.
She hopped off my back and started poking at my metal leg, and I had to wonder how she missed it earlier.
Wow, it's pretty. Don't think it matches your mane, though. Should have painted it pink.
Serenity. Blinking, she looked at me and smiled. Finally, I think I got her attention. Only Celestia above knew why she was so hyper. Okay, we need... And she was off. Some poor stallion was perusing in front of the water fountain and stopped a bit too long when Serenity pounced.
Hello, mister.
She skipped up, a painfully fake smile plastered on her face.
Did you want to come in? We have a brunch special going on. A meal and a private dance. It's a bargain.
The stallion looked around, taking a step back. I'm just looking.
You don't want to?
She took the tiniest of steps forward. The stallion gulped a bit and shook his head. Without warning, her gray eyes turned to the size of saucers and started to water just as her lower lip wobbled ever so slightly.
Aren't you going to stay for brunch?
Just like that, the stallion looked left and then right, trying to find a way out, before quickly galloping to the two O's that made the entrance of the moon. Inconceivable, Flair said, floating upside down beside me. She's weaponized cuteness. He turned his head to me and stated flatly, we're doomed.
They had party cannons?
Gulping, I looked to Flair. He just sort of smirked.
Like cannons? The shop parties?
I gave Serenity the slightest nod, and she started squealing with delight.
That's so awesome. We need to go. I want to ride one.
I gulped and looked around. Maybe later. We'd set up at a small section of the moon bar with a lovely view of the main stage. I mean elevator, in case some pony saw us. Yep. The fact that Mayus, the most beautiful of the Mustang dancers, was current on stage had nothing to do with it. Now for our point of order, Flair said across the round table with his hoof raised. Considering he interrupted me, I gathered he didn't care about what I actually thought, so I just finished off the Sunrise Sarsaparilla bottle in front of me and shut the fuck up. Fizzy. How come Hyatt makes all the plans? What? So surprised at the mutiny, I accidentally let the bottle slip out of my mouth and spill its remaining soda into a small puddle on the table. Flair continued. I mean no offense, because if I gave offense, you'd flatten me. But ever since I've known you, you've been captured 3 times by 3 different gangs. His wings stuck out dramatically. I mean, that can't be good. 3, I said. There were the Mustangs, then the Basies, and then... The finishers don't count, and I finished.
2 still a lot, Mommy.
Serenity popped up, standing on her chair, still dressed in the outfit the Mustangs gave her. Serenity, please don't... Don't call me Mommy, I tried to say. She's right, Hyde, Flair said, leaning back in his chair, his wings twitching a bit. 2 is a lot. And that's since I've known you. He lifted his Sunrise Sarsaparilla to his lips with both hooves and drank deeply and dramatically. How many times before that, I have to wonder.
Once Timber, Serenity bounced. Serenity!
She was not helping. At all. Didn't you say you got caught by those raiders too? The ones I almost sold Serenity to. Yeah. I tried to forget about that. Well, it's not that simple, I said between gritted teeth. This was just getting silly.
Well, is that all? Never captured at all during your mysterious,
he moved his hooves in air quotes,
past?
I opened my mouth as if to talk, but shut it just as quick as I tried to think of a good enough lie. Nothing came to mind, and Flair spoke too fast anyway.
I knew it, he pointed his hoof. Clearly we can't trust your planning skills.
But Flair,
Serenity popped up. I could feel her magic flare up as she quickly levitated his half-empty soda bottle and moved it towards her side of the table.
If she did get caught so many times, then don't it also mean she escaped that many times too?
Taking a sip of Flair's soda, she continued.
Then she gotta be good improvisational, right? So ain't that what you want in a good lady?
He just sort of blinked and shook his head. Also, I added, I can kill you with my hoof. Flair gaped at me before turning to Serenity, then back to me, and finally back to his soda, which Serenity was busy drinking. Oh, whatever, he crossed his forelegs.
But if we get caught, a shot and caught, and shot again, we won't be blaming the Pegasus, got it?
Yeah, unless of course it was legitimately his fault, which was always a possibility.
Okay, I sighed, now for my plan. The radio was suddenly blaring from the bar, cutting me off, damn it.
The Batmare said she is considering legal action against the Batmane, a fighter in the Ale Pit.
Fun fact, apparently the cage I fought in was called the Ale Pit. What was it with this country and stupid names?
The word is still out on who the Batmare is planning legal action through, as Dice has not had an active justice system for 200 years.
I really wanted to yell at the bartender to turn it down, but Mr. New Haggis's voice was too beautiful, and his laugh too lovely.
In other news, the NCA Council convened an emergency session after yesterday's Balefire massacre. According to my sources, the Council has voted 7-3 for engaging in a counterattack against the Minotaurs who are believed to be behind the attack.
Serenity called to me, but I rose my hoof to quiet her. This information was clearly important for any opponent living near Dice.
Since, according to the NCA Treaty, all acts of aggression must have a 75% approval with the Council, the matter is now before the Council Chairman, who is allowed, in the event of a split vote, to give a tie-breaking vote. If such an action goes through, the NCA and all its subsidiary cities will have to declare war on the Minotaurs. The Chairman, for his part, has said he will decide this vote within the next few days.
After a burst of static, a new voice played, obviously of the Council Chairman. I have no idea what either of those two words mean.
This is not a decision I take on gladly. My choice to go to war or to fight for peace will have a grave impact on all citizens within the NCA zone and a grave impact on our trading partners and, truthfully, the wasteland as a whole. However, the actions taken against us, the NCA, and the brave mares and steins of the South Canyon camp cannot be forgotten. The perpetrators will be punished, but we must, as an organization, make sure our actions punish those who are truly responsible. If, as some in this chamber believe, the Minotaurs were not capable of such an attack, then we must act with caution. We are not the savages of Equestria, who turned to blood and violence after a similar attack without first knowing the facts. However, if the Minotaurs have once again made an enemy of the NCA, then we must act swiftly and with great force to ensure that they are never again able to threaten a city or any country who pledges to be one of the New Caledonian Alliance. I will make my decision within a few days, but only after I have seen all relevant facts. Thank you, and may Celestia watch over us all.
I was leaning back in my chair, listening to the radio continue, and Mr. New Haggis's voice returned.
For their part, the Minotaurs have been completely silent about the attack. All attempts to reach them for comment have been ignored. Oh well, if they're so eager to be attacked, I'm sure the boys in blue will help them. Well, that's enough of the news. Sorry for boring you folks. Back to the same 10 songs we always play.
So, Serena leaned over the table at me. Can we hear the plan now? She said with a simple smile.
Nodding, I remembered I totally was supposed to tell them both about my master plan. It was a really good one, too.
Okay, so my plan. Hired? What the fuck are you doing here?
Celestia, huh, fuck me. I turned to see Mayhem standing over me and glaring in his face.
The boss is looking for you.
Whatever. Fuck my plans.
Sitting on one of Roy's many couches, I stared up at the glass skylight, waiting for Roy to admit me. Above, the cloud layer swirled and swayed ever so slightly. It was hard not to wonder what was behind it. Sometimes cracks would appear, and you could see a glimpse of blue and light, but it was rare.
I stopped staring at the sky and looked around the huge apartment complex. It was useless to think about the impossible. It wasn't long before I was called before Roy. Walking into the office, the blue unicorn seemed to be staring intently at the radio on his desk as it blared.
Steel Rain has claimed that unless the Mustangs break all ties with the Minotaurs, there will be serious repercussions.
When he saw me, the radio clicked off, and he said something I never expected.
I never wanted this job, you know. His voice was strangely thick, all his former arrogance lost. My friend, Melancholy, was supposed to. All I wanted was to serve him, to protect him. When I was supervising the moon floor, my enclave assassins killed him and the former leader. The Basies hired them. The bitch Mala did it because when she made an advance on Melon, he called her an ass. He stomped his hoof down on the desk with a sharp crack. I did the only thing I could do, which was sit down, shut up, and listen. There was chaos. I took control because some pony had to. I just wanted to serve, and I was forced to lead. His head turned, glaring at the radio. Those NCA fuckers hate me. They've set a hit out on me, and they think I don't know. You know why? You sided with the Minotaurs, I said, staring past him to the window facing the side alley outside. Ha! He didn't particularly look like he found it funny. They came marching up here and demanded a discount of my water supply. Demanded. I told them to fuck right the hell off, and they stopped gambling at my casino and cut trades with me, so their water prices suddenly skyrocketed. Your water? I asked. How do you think runs a fucking water plant? Clean, purified water, and only three ponies know how it really works. He grinned at me. Why, you thought we only had a single business? But yeah, they fucked me over. After that fiasco at the power plant, I was forced to get help from the Minotaurs. The Basies won't trade food with me. The NCA won't, damn it. He stomped his hoof again. My ponies need food. The NCA and the Basies own the food, though, and they work together to make sure no pony gets a bite without their say-so. He looked away from me. I did what I had to. Isaiah won't talk to me. Basies want my head. The NCA have hired mercenaries to kill me. There was a long pause before no pony spoke. I wanted Melancholy, not his job, he said under his breath. Now I have the power, but I have to protect my ponies. I thought the power plant would give me an edge, bringing the Mustangs back. He shook his head. Ma'am convinced me. I shouldn't have listened. We're weaker than ever. He looked up to me with deep eyes, almost as if he was about to cry. I have so few ponies loyal to me, so few options, but I have to protect my little ponies. I have to defend my family. Fuck, I never wanted this job, but it's mine, so I have to protect them. For a second, I thought I saw something, but it must have been a mistake. There was no way he was crying. For some reason, I felt sorry for him. Do not get me wrong, he was a horrible pony that did stupid and evil things, but I felt sorry for him, and for what I was going to do to him. That was, until I remember what he told me the night before, what he'd do to Serenity. Fuck him. What? Got nothing to say? Good. Keep it to yourself, bitch. He sat back up straight and shot me a glare, his good old arrogance returning. So you got news for me? Speak, bitch. I have shit to do that don't involve ugly mares. I think he was overcompensating for having emotions. Mila thinks I did it. Plans to attack the tunnels. Didn't tell me when. He grinned, bobbing his head as I spoke. You'd think he'd actually did the work himself. My payment? I asked. And your room. You ain't half bad, bitch. More subtle than I expected. Maybe there's a brain inside that thick skull of yours. He shrugged and leaned back in his chair, levitating a glass to his lips. You can stay, though, with full pay, if that's what you want. I shook my head. Well, speak up, bitch. Why won't you accept my offer? Honestly, I said. He nodded his tiny, squishable head. Since I got to this city has fucked me over. I plan to leave for a long time. Laughing, he nodded. I can't say I blame you. You're a beacon for trouble, but fuck it. You ever come around these parts again, you and your fella can work for me. He pointed to the door. You've done your job. As of now, you are no longer a Mustang. You can stay the night, but you don't gotta. Try not to get a bullet in the brain and get the fuck out of my office. Happily, I obliged. Only to find mayhem waiting by the stairs for me. Great. That's exactly what I wanted. I mostly ignored him as I trotted down the spiral staircase, and he mostly ignored me as he followed. That was until he reached the bottom and he started talking. What was he going on about? Nothing, I said and kept walking down the hall, adding, don't eavesdrop. Me? He gave me his usual slick smile. I would never. Now, I was just surprised he would talk to you so candidly. Wasn't that, in itself, an admission of eavesdropping? Whatever. So, what did he tell you? Nothing, I said. The elevator door slid open. I tried really hard to press the closed door button before he could get in, but he was far too quick. Oh? He tends to talk a lot of nothing when he worries. The red pony leaned against the elevator wall as it started descending. He worries too much. I hasn't stepped a foot outside his apartment since he got the job, in fear of assassination. Can't blame him, I said. not after what happened to the last Mustang leader and whoever Melancholy was. Why do you care? The pony shrugged, but grinned just a little bit. Bashies are coming. Don't know when. I did. Don't know where. I knew that, too. But they're coming. I'd like to know where my fearless leader stands, you dig? Yeah, I dug. I mean, understood. Sometimes I wonder if he's the right stand for the job. Oh, now that was interesting. Or would have been if I was still part of their little gang, but I was free. I'd filled my contract with the letter, and I was no longer obliged to give a fuck about their petty squabbles. The elevator door slid open, and I walked out, not bothering to answer or acknowledge his treason. I had bigger thoughts in my head than mayhem, namely my gun. My brand spanking new fucking gun. Roy had said it'd be in my room, and I was nearly salivating as I stormed down the hallway. Some pony stopped to say hi, but I couldn't remember who it was, or anything about the encounter. The gun was just that much more important. I needed it. I pined for it. I got my ass kicked from one side of the ice to the other for that fucking gun. I kicked the door open with a slam. There it was, with its glossy sheen, in Flair's forelegs. White. He was floating there, pleasant as could be, with my brand new gun resting on his forelegs. His eyes were wide as he stared at it, and I could almost hear his gasp of delight. My gun! Hooves off! Gasping, Flair looked up and let go of the gun. It fell. Fuck. I screamed, no! Okay, so the gun landed on the bed, and I may have overreacted. Of course, I'd lost so many good guns since walking south of Mareford, it was a touchy issue. Between them being stolen, broken, lost, and used as bludgeons, I was basically a gun pariah. After extensive modifications to my battle saddle, I got the thing set up and ready. It was excessively large, and weighed me down so much on my right side we had to add weights to the left to make it feel more even. After that, it was completely required for me to go out and show off my new amazing-ass gun. First, however, I managed to, finally, sell off the drugs I stole from Flair to the Mustangs. The only exception was a single tin of Mentals that Flair insisted could come in handy. After the way he almost cried when I sold the dash, I could hardly say no, so I stuck them deep in my saddlebags beneath my dress. Then it was shopping time. It was also a perfect chance to venture into a part of the city I had yet to explore and look over possible escape routes. We walked south from the moon to the statue that served as a crossroads that dissected the city into mostly four quadrants. If you traveled east on the east-west road, you'd soon find yourself in what Flair had called the worst part of town. It didn't look nearly as bad as Parasite Mound. Once you got into the heart of the suburb, you found a slum that consisted of jumbled together shacks made of scavenged metal and gutted, barely repaired old buildings. It was a close and cramped jumble of streets, with only open areas being the array of merchant stands that always flanked around the stone water fountains. Unlike most everything else in the slum, the fountains looked fairly new, and when I leaned closer, I saw each buried a plaque stating, "Property of the Mustangs. Take what you need."
"The Mustangs charge a flat tax of every pony living in the slums," Flair said beside me, floating upside down above the mess of ponies that swarmed the streets. "They collect on every house once a month."
"Oh," I said. I thought for a second it was a charity, but that was laughable. This was Dice, baby, and nothing in Dice was free. Flair shrugged and landed in front of me where there was a clear spot.
"Of course, there are some who can't pay."
I bet they got shot up.
Roy lets them be.
"Wait, really?
Hard to believe, right? I didn't either, but the Mustangs just go and leave them. Don't get me wrong, they're slaving shitheads, only looking out for the bottom cab, but on this, they ain't so bad."
There was a pause.
"Oh, we need grenades, too,"
Flair said, zipping off to a nearby stand. "Maybe a remote mine." I raised an eyebrow at him.
"What? They're useful."
I smiled for a second at the water fountain and pushed forward. "Serenity sure is quiet," I said as we passed below a bridge connecting a pair of two-story huts. "Can huts have two stories?" Flair nickered.
"I think she has a headache."
He nudged his head, and I turned to see Serenity leaning off the side of my back, poking at my new gun. Her horn was glowing brightly, casting her whole head in a light pink glow. Normally, my shoulder would have informed me of her magic, but Ice was so oversaturated with magic, I couldn't pick up individuals. It was true that the slum was loud, really, really loud, but I think she was overplaying it. "She'll wear herself out," I sighed, and continued on my trek, circling around a stick, skinny pony begging for caps. My memory was back at the alehouse where Serenity had overused her magic and, you know the rest. I heard stories of unicorns overtaxing themselves and having their magic implode and fizzle out, forever.
"Don't be an overprotective mother,"
She's not my. I shot him a glare as he nickered. Whatever. I have a question. He raised an eyebrow at me. If, say, we needed to escape, quickly, what would you suggest?
Well, he looked around to make sure no pony was listening. There's a tunnel under the eastern wall. Don't know if any pony uses it now. Used to be for smuggling, way back when things were illegal. Here the tunnel is still there, but locked. Scary rumors of ghosts and demons haunting it.
Ooh! He waved his forelegs stupidly in front of me, and I knocked him away.
I can lead you into them, and through them, of course. Why? Got plans to leave the city in a hurry? Is that it?
No comment. Oh, look, I said dully as we reached another market area. Bullets. I trotted ahead to the small wooden stand with cases of bullets aligned neatly in a row. The tall teal earth pony behind it practically lit up when he realized I had no intentions to rob him. Grinning amiably, he quickly laid out a roll of 50 caliber rounds upon my request. Not bothering to inspect them, I shoved them into my saddlebag. Actually, Serenity did that when she noticed what was going on. As the stand owner's small radio blared music. Would you like anything, little filly? The teal pony asked Serenity, who was half lying on top of my head to see the stallion's few wares. How about a sugar bomb? Giving a filly sugar. What exactly did this stallion have against me? Serenity nodded and floated the sugary treat to her mouth with a crunch before I had a chance to voice my complaint. Thanks, I mumbled, looking around the small semicircle of stands and the largest wall of buildings leaning in on the clearing. Small paths zigzagged through the slums, leading every which way. It made me feel a bit nostalgic and reminded me of my filly days running around the maze that was Marefort, searching for adventure. Shaking my head, I turned back to the teal stallion. We need food and travel supplies. Of course, I have a little. His head disappeared behind his little stand. I could barely hear his radio over the din. From what I could hear, it seemed like the group Celestia's Vision heard of a group of something deep in the eastern mountains and had led a militant group march up there to kick them out. Something about something in somewhere. The only gist seemed to be that Celestia's Vision decided to pick a fight out east. Not that I really cared. Fuck, I hated those guys. If you don't remember who they were the ones who hated cyborgs for being deviant of Celestia's Vision. Get it? Also, I said to the pony, my eyes still scanning the maze. It was about then I realized I was lost. How do I get back to the cross?
No shit, there I was, Flair said, zooming in a circle. It had been a long day, and I was glad to be able to lie down. They tried to gun me and Sail down, but we were too quick. Sail lay down covering fire. Tiki, tiki, tiki.
Rested my head on my forelegs. I figured that guns didn't really make that sound, but its performance was energetic enough for me not to complain. Then what happened? I asked. He was going to tell me anyway, so I decided to humor him. Not that there wasn't anything else left to do but wait. We had left the moon with all our equipment a few hours earlier and proceeded to move, well, to the building next door. Everything was coming together soon, but I kept feeling like I was missing something. We were in a small four-story office building that I had to kick my way into. It was dank and dusty, but it would serve for what I needed it for. So I'd made our group traverse the maze of cubicle debris. The stairs were broken, but Flair and I managed to drag enough debris to get to the second story. Luckily, that floor was all but empty, and the stairs to the top floor were all intact enough for me and Serenity to use. Blah, blah, blah. We got into the room we were currently in. I think it had been used as a shelter before, given that in a corner there was a dirty mattress that I was currently laying on. I had to work off the bath somehow.
Anyway, Flair said as my eyes were drawn out the window towards the wall of the moon. So while Sail was covering me, I loaded up my bunker buster.
Here, what? I interrupted, looking up at where the ceiling of the building should have been. Instead, there was a huge gaping hole revealing the night sky, and a few stories above me, the glass walls of Roy Mustang's penthouse.
Bunker buster.
He sighed for a second before digging through his bags and pulling out the strangest battle saddle I'd ever seen. The whole thing was modified so weapons would rest on his shoulders instead of his sides, and the dual grenade rifles had curved barrels to seemingly shoot grenades down.
Fly over and lay down explosives. Made this baby myself, so I call her Bunker Buster. You should name your gun something awesome. All the best weapons have names.
Not bloody likely. Impressive, I said. Though I didn't sound impressed, I really was. Until then, I'd seen Flair as mostly a semi-useful hyperactive annoyance, but this quickly bumped him up to a mostly useful hyperactive annoyance.
So, they were running away like some crazy fuckers on Dash. I had a feeling that he had first hoof experience. Anyway, needless to say, the Steel Rangers fucked off for a bit after that, and that is how I got promoted to captain.
He patted his battle saddle fondly.
They took her away from me when I was kicked out. but let me have it back on the condition I don't blow up any more computer labs. Seemed like a fair deal. Flair opened his mouth to start another story, but I lifted my pitmuck to silence him. I heard voices. Rising from the dirt-stained mattress, I started to move towards the window, only to feel something tugging on my tail. Turning my head, I had to smile just a tiny bit. Serenity had fallen fast asleep on the mattress with her legs wrapped around my tail like it was a pillow. Reluctantly, I nudged her off and quickly dug into my saddlebag to drape the scarf that came with Flair's dress over her. Then I made my way back over to the window and looked down four stories below. That was a lie. I did not look down, but it took me a few tries and a shot of Med-X to calm my nerves. Did I mention I bought Med-X? Below, a gaggle of ponies stood half hidden in the shadows and talked beside a small door to the moon. A small door. Fuck. Flair. He looked down at me from his perch on the broken roof. Did we unlock the door? That's all the bases asked of us, and we completely fucking forgot. A glance down at my pitbuck told me it was 12:57. Not enough time to fix it. I was going to be so very pissed. Looking back down, why did Earth ponies need to build tall buildings? I saw one of the ponies talking to something in their fetlock. About the locked door, no doubt. I flicked my scope up over my eye to get a better look at the goings-on. The pony that spoke into his hoof dropped something. Wait, why were they all backing up and taking cover? Just then, what the pony had dropped exploded. Light blinded me, and I jerked my head back, pulling my eye away from the scope. Behind me, I could barely hear Serenity groaning over the sound of my ears ringing. And this was from the gang that called me unsubtle. Taking a second, I grabbed a bounty notice. Back in Timber, Lucky had given me a warrant. I never planned to use it, but I was given the perfect chance with this attack, so I had to take it. I looked back down at the carnage. The bases charged forward through the burning hole, only to find a flurry of bullets to greet them. Through the smoke, I could spot a large red pony grinning under his hat as the huge minigun on his back spun up again. Still no sign of my mark, though. The purple mare took charge of the bases, and I could see her shouting orders over the gunshots. The bases retreated back down the alley, throwing debris in their path as cover, just in time for the Mustang horde to emerge. I recognized faces and knew them to be no fighters. Miss stood trembling under the weight of her guns, much heavier than stripper clothing, and the bartender stood beside Mayhem, a confident smile on his face as more ponies emerged.
What's going on?
Serenity leaned over the window just in time to see a stripper named Mayflower take a bullet to the knee.
Serenity!
I pushed her back as she squeaked and covered her eyes with her hoof. Damn it, she was supposed to be asleep. She wasn't supposed to see the slaughter.
Flair, I pleaded, watch her.
No matter what happened, I still had work to do and a mark to take out. Looking back down at my scope, I saw Mayflower's bloody corpse lying on the pavement as the rest of the Mustangs charged forward. They were no match for the bases, though, and nearly a dozen of them fell before Mayhem ordered them back into the moon. My scope scanned the area, bobbing and weaving, but I still couldn't find them. The large stallion laid down cover fire with his minigun as the Mustangs fell back into the burning wreckage of the door until he ran out of ammo. He kept his confident smirk, but when I zoomed in on his eyes, I saw the slightest tinge of dread. I didn't see the bullet that hit him, but blood spattered out of his knee, painting the ground. Following the trajectory, I saw a purple mare standing above her group, a smoking rifle on her back. With a smirk and a tug on her hat, she shouted something I couldn't hear. The bases charged the moon side doors, Mayhem limped backwards. An orange pony with an overlarge cowpony hat charged ahead of Molly. I felt like a fly on the wall as I saw him foolishly rush Mayhem. Even injured and limping, Mayhem made short work of the pony, dodging his gunshot and kicking out his leg where he proceeded to crush his skull. In my mind, it was me crushing the pony, and my metal hoof was dripping with blood and brains. I felt a tinge of regret at the battle, for it was I who caused it, more or less. Then the pony in my head said, "Survive." No matter what I did, these two gangs are going to have at it. I just gave them a time, a place, and a chance. Now Serenity sniffling into Flair's wing behind me was entirely my fault. Two things happened at once. First, down the ground, a whirl of missiles and an explosion rocked the alley. Without warning, a dozen ponitrons flanked either side of the street where the battle was taking place, their many guns out and aimed. Bullets were traded as the ponitrons moved in. Sparks lit up their chests from the shots, but they barely seemed to notice as they rolled slowly, ominously forward. The Mustangs had a fighting chance, if only it hadn't been for the second thing.
"Look!" Flair shouted. Turning, I saw him holding Serenity with one leg and pointing to the sky with the other.
Following his hoof, I saw something black floating in the sky. The vertibuck slowly stopped over Roy's penthouse.
I looked up through my scope just in time to see Molly grabbing onto a rope and descending out of view with half a dozen black-clad ponies following her.
Bitch!
My hoof struck out in anger, punching a chunk of wall into the street.
She lied to me.
She was never supposed to be here. Just attack the moon and fight up. She never said anything about hiring the Enclave or... Of course she lied to me. She never did trust me. This whole battle was a distraction. And all I had to do was give Roy something else but the sky to focus on.
Fuck, it didn't matter,
I said. What? Flair asked. He had left Serenity on the bed to zoom into the air for a better view.
If I told Roy or not, it was all a distraction to kill him.
At some point, Flair had to quit Bunker Buster. No, she ain't gonna kill him. She wants to capture him, he said. Confusion must have been evident on my face. To capture? Roy's the only pony she could be sure knows how to work the water plant. She wants his resources, not his head.
Fuck.
I turned back and scoped up my new gun. Below, the remaining bases had surrendered and were surrounded by the ponytrons as they whimpered and sobbed. Mayhem limped over to kick the nearest basie in the head with a crack and then laughed before falling over. Back to the air, I could barely see anything from my angle. I saw bullets fly and glass shatter raining onto the street below. There was a bright light, and then the thudding of an explosion hit my chest. Coughing, I stared at one window that remained untouched. It was Roy's office. There he was, leaning with his back against the window, with his white fur coat still on his shoulders and his horn glowing brightly. He was planning an epic last stand, no doubt, but Mala had different plans. Suddenly smoke started filling the room, but I could still see Roy's back pressed against the glass. Hey, Flair, I said, taking a deep breath, my scope hovering over the vertibuck. I think I have a name for my gun.
What? Is this really the time?
He screeched as my vision bobbed. Serenity, for her part, trotted to my side and rubbed her head against my good leg.
Yeah, I said, and took the shot.
My gun roared like thunder. Blood spattered as the bullet tore through both glass and Roy. The shards turned into rain and spun towards the alley below, falling alongside his bloody and broken body. Spinning through the darkness, he landed with a splat beside the ponytrons. Every pony gasped, save the ponytrons, who stood completely still. Ever so slowly, his white fur coat floated down from the moon and rested on top of his corpse. A more fitting shroud I could not think of. Molly leaned out the shattered window, gaping at the remains of Roy Mustang as I smiled. The bounty I had been offered was complete. A simple form offering more caps than I could imagine, all for the death of one Roy Mustang, consorted with Minotaurs, an enemy of the NCA. So signed, Major Lucky. Grinning, I wrapped my fetlock around Serenity and turned to Flair. I inclined my head ever so slightly towards my new 50-caliber gun and gave it a name. Subtlety. Footnote. Level up. New perk. MOA agent. Gain additional 35% accuracy with battle saddle weapons.